Hi, everybody. Today is Wednesday, May 21st, 2025. Our friend Andrei Martyanov is back with us. Welcome back, Andrei.
My pleasure.
Andrei, the picture of what has happened between the two presidents right now, what were the main issues that were discussed in the talk, in the phone call? More than 2 hours they talk. What were the main issues on the part of Russians, and how was that perceived by the President of the United States, if we have any sort of information on that?
Well, we can only deduce, okay? But reality is, his statements first, you can never take his statements seriously because he basically creates this, soap opera essentially in the, a given particular short time, and then goes out on his social network, whatever that is, and begins to post some things which are so bizarre. But the point is, after his statements, and even Bloomberg, and Bloomberg is a, it's a, well, as most of media is successful, but the point is that he suddenly recognizes that Russia is winning. Well, the reason is Russia is winning, this is probably when Vladimir Putin explained to Donald Trump, out of those 2 hours, probably hour, I don't know, I'm just speculating, so don't take it seriously, was to explain to Mr. Trump that he doesn't get real picture. It's not the Putin who is isolated, he is isolated. His advisors are incompetent military hacks, such as Kellogg or whatever the US military is presented there with, together with the, chief of the Joint Chief, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and all that. So when you look at this, I mean, Donald, do you have real numbers of what is going on? And he doesn't. Because, by the way, which as we spoke just prior to this, J.D. Vance suddenly comes out and says things which are essentially parroting that this BS, which is Kellogg, who is, they are butthurt. Okay, so let's be very straightforward here. Pentagon, American military is very butthurt. It's saw how impotent it is. And suddenly, they are trying to play those games. They still, proceed from the position that they are somehow militarily just incomparable, which is not even near in vicinity of the real capabilities. And so, as a result, I think Vladimir Putin explained to Mr. Trump that no, we didn't lose 700,000 people, that probably Russians lost around 100,000 KIAs, which is probably the correct, even the most anti-Russian resources give it, like Metametric and BBC on, who would ever thought? And actually they give the number 88,000. And the kill ratio right now from the different reports from the line of the combat contact is 1 to 15 to 1 to 20, depending on the sectors. So we're looking at probably by now up to 1.5 million of KIAs for Ukraine. And so Trump knows that there is a lot. So basically, what he was getting, which is absolutely not surprising, considering especially with those revelations about the state of health of Mr. Biden, who was practically incapacitated, and the United States was run into the ground by the cabal of the criminals. And so he probably should have had, second thought. Maybe. And then suddenly he comes out and says, ah, Russians are winning. Well, surprise, surprise. Russia was winning since 2023. But because most of the US military and Western military academies teach their operational art based on the pattern movie, that, yeah, the more ground you cover, the better you are. Well, in reality, the war is about killing your enemy. And the Russians have been doing it extremely efficiently. But this is the type of the warfare which none of the professors in the any kind of the military academies in the West are acquainted with. And so as the result, so especially when you look at this, and probably Vladimir Putin was explaining to him, dude, I am more actually situationally aware about the United States than the United States itself. So he was giving him probably some pointers. in a good sense, not lecturing him, because they obviously they do have a decent, relations, like human relations. They call each other by name, Donald and Vladimir, and so they probably wouldn't mind, getting together just purely on, human side, have a drink or two, talk some shop, whatever. And that is what it happened. Now Europe is a full-blown panic. And correctly, when we spoke 2 days ago, me, Daniel Davis, Colonel Davis, and I, you probably, if you saw it, you will see, Daniel made a very good point about the fact that actually Trump called Europeans. He informed them about this talk, phone talk with Putin, but he never informed Mr. Starmer. So that means, we now have the clear picture that it is Britain, which tries to pretend that it matters. This is a third world country, actually, and in every single respect. And so he didn't inform Starmer, who obviously is in the foundation, so to speak, of the sabotage of the, the Europe is, closely aligned with Ukraine, but Europe is economically and militarily impotent. And so Trump, especially changing rhetoric today and yesterday, he understood. Larry Johnson beautifully describes it, So, as he says, the huge tube of the lipstick you needed for that to, basically describe those negotiations, that Russians are not batching. That's it. There's no ceasefire. There will be no ceasefire. Now, obviously, with today's statement by Vladimir Putin, half jokingly, while he was in Kursk, region, they better face reality. Russians are already in Dnipropetrovsk Oblast, by the way. So it just, how to put it, they better go back to their to school and start from their, so to speak, the first grade, starting to learn about what war is and how it is being fought and how political objectives are achieved. And that's probably what has been described to Donald Trump by Vladimir Putin. And after that, he came out with all those, including the pathos-ridden things about that. Oh, yeah, many jobs created in Russia, So, well, Russia has the shortage of the labor force. There are very many, and I'm talking about real jobs, not some delivery guy from the, DoorDash, which Russians have, Yandex, food or things like that. No, we're talking about welders. We're talking about engineers. We're talking about CNC operators. We're talking about all those professions which are desperately, a shortage. Russians need more, because economy is growing tremendously. And as the result, when he hears this, and evidently Vladimir Putin is fairly articulate in terms of delivering things, not in an offensive way, suddenly we have Mr. Trump coming out of this with a changed mind, changed opinion. And I don't know why J.D. Vance went for all this, but the faster Washington, D.C. gets a handle on the real situation, most of them they are simply not educated and cultured enough to even grasp what is happening. But at least some people who are in the decision-making circle, they better start educating themselves on what is transpiring right now. And Mr. Medvedev, we all know Dmitry Medvedev is a really nice guy. He already stated that you're going to cease to exist, And again, there are 700,000 combat-ready troops in reserves in Russia. So this is for those people who do not understand, will Russians, can Russians do their, big arrow offensives? Oh, absolutely they can. And again, they have 700,000 best-equipped, best-trained troops in the world right now in rear, waiting for, if the order will come for real big offensive. But for now, there is no need to do that.
Andrei, you mentioned J.D. Vance, and here is what he said. It seems that he said it before the phone call happening. I would Well, I was wondering if he has changed his mind toward after the call between the two presidents. Here is what he said, Andrei.
Is Vladimir Putin serious about negotiating peace, right? He has made some concessions. He has taken some serious steps in these conversations, but we feel like, you know, we're at a point where we're hitting an impasse, and that's why the president is talking to him on the phone. Yeah, I think honestly that President Putin, he doesn't quite know how to get out of the war. If you think about this, he's got a million men under arms. He's re-engineered his entire economy, what used to be manufacturing facilities making, you know, products for people to use in their civilian life. They're now making tank shells and artillery shells and drones. And so this is a little bit of guess, but I think the president would agree that part of this is I'm not sure that Vladimir Putin has a strategy himself for how to unwind the war, of course, that's been going on for a few years now. And I think there's also just a little bit of, look, there's fundamental mistrust.
What's wrong with the picture that he's giving us?
It's illiteracy on economic issues, because most of the American political elite is utterly ignorant on real economy. It looks at the stock market and financial market, and that's the only thing they know. He doesn't even understand that actually Russian consumer goods industry grows by leaps and bounds. And so, and Uralvagonzavod never actually made anything civilian in US history. Everything they were doing were, of course, always tanks. You know, there are all kinds of other things. It's just that those facilities have been brought up to speed. They are expanding, but they never produced any civilian products. But if you look attentively at the growth of Russian economy, even the IMF improved forecast for Russian economy to around 5% growth a year. So there you go. And again, you have to understand, you cannot explain to Mr. Bassinet, for example, the guy who is responsible for economy in the United States, you know, that, dude, Russians don't care about your stock market. It's like when you have the Walgreens, which is the part of Dow Jones Industrial, which is the retail network, which, by the way, is not doing that well. And they removed General Electric from it and put Walgreens. So that tells you everything that you need to know. Those guys know whiteboard theories about how to make money on speculation, period. And that is what a majority of the American elite is. That's how they are educated, quote unquote. They have no clue what the actual manufacturing is. Most of the Ivy League economists from Stanford or Harvard wouldn't understand what CNC is, what comes into producing their modern commercial airliner. They just have no clue. They are not taught that. They taught all those whiteboard BS, all of them BS theories, ranging from Marxism to whatever, liberalism to monetarism and all that. But reality is, the only thing which matters in life is actually tangibles, you know? And the tangibles are, guess what? Mr. J.D. Vance has to travel to Russia. And I mean travel Russia, not just Moscow, St. Petersburg. He obviously will have some really serious cognitive dissonances already there. But if he goes to any Russian city or town, anywhere, on the Far East, in Siberia, in what have you, Novosibirsk, Krasnoyarsk, Yakutsk, he will get into any Russian supermarket. And it would put to shame anything in the United States in terms of their agricultural products, the choice of the meats, everything, you know? And so people do not understand that. They don't understand that actually Russians produce their own furniture. They produce excellent shoes. I actually made a video. No, I mean it. In my one of my podcasts about a couple of years ago, not a couple of years, a year and a half ago, once we returned from Russia, and I explained to people, I buy Russian shoes. I have several of them. I go to Russia to buy shoes. You know why? Because they are better. And they actually have the, you know, type of shoes which you cannot find here. And so people do not understand that. They simply cannot grasp it that Russia is self-sufficient. If there is an autarky in the world, or something which is approaching autarky, that's Russia. I mean, Russians produce practically everything on their own, including the cars, for example, which are not bad, you know. So, and when you look at that, you have to keep in mind that, you know, Russia has problems, but no doubt about it. But it is an economic giant with the gigantic economy. And they better wake up to this reality and fire all those economic and intelligence advisors, you know, who have no clue about anything, the subject matter. They were living in this alternative reality since World War II, actually, since the post-World War II. And so now when it's, you know, coming to, well, it's imploding on itself, so, well, it's about time, you know, they wake up. And evidently, Vladimir Putin, speaking to Donald Trump, he explained to him some basic economic and operational issues, and there you go. So, and Donald, evidently, nobody says that he's stupid, make no mistake. Alike, of course, we were talking about, we knew he was feeble-minded and incapacitated. Joe Biden, he was, you know, he was a merely avatar, he wasn't the president. But Donald is a president, and he is not stupid, despite the fact that obviously we already have, we see the onset of the, you know, old age and things like that. So if properly explained to him, I'm pretty sure he, unlike Joe Biden, he could grasp some things. And today, again, as Bloomberg posted this panicky article by Ukrainians, no less, that Russian advance is slowing down. Russians never were pursuing this, you know, fast advance because they do not want to govern the damn Ukraine, you know, whatever will be left of it, you know. But, you know, Russians are already in Dnipropetrovsk, and Vladimir Putin made a half-joking, terrifying comment, terrifying for the Kyiv regime, about Sumy Oblast. So, yeah, things are going the way they're supposed to, and Donald Trump was briefed on that.
Andre, here is a clip that Marco Rubio was somehow was asked by U.S. politicians about the conflict in Ukraine. Here is what I want to show, the level of these people who are arguing about the conflict in Ukraine. Here is what they said to Marco Rubio.
In the war, I simply note that Putin on Palm Sunday launched a barrage of missiles, killed a bunch of civilians. Right before his conversation with Trump recently, he launched a bunch of missiles, killed a bunch of civilians. So clearly, Putin is giving the middle finger to you and to the president. I urge you to defeat Putin on the battlefield. That's the only way to get him to the negotiating table. I yield back.
This guy has ordered to defeat Putin on the battlefield. I don't know if he knows what he's talking about.
Average American congressman is imbecile. He's a lawyer who have no clue about the military or economic affairs. They are going to Congress primarily to enrich themselves and to peddle their influence. This is what it is. I mean, it's... in this case, what do you expect? Listen, have you seen those butthurt American military? There are a number of them on YouTube. You know, they live in an alternative universe. They thought that they, because they were in Iraq, somehow it's a real war. It's not. It was always a high-intensity police operation. So these people have no idea, together from even the Joint Chiefs, you know, what combined arms warfare of the scale is. And this is not the biggest scale. Russians can go to war, and God forbids. Those people do not know, well, they probably understand a little bit now what this war, not special military operation, will look like. And so what you have the bunch of the PR peddling and influence peddling nincompoops who, again, they cannot hold any meaningful, conversation, not only because they are corrupt, but because they are stupid. I mean, you cannot have people with degrees in political science, journalism, or, well, nothing wrong with being a lawyer. The problem is when you have only lawyers practically, you know. And when you look at them, what can possibly they know about anything? No, They know the law. They know how to manipulate the law. That is why so many lawyers go into the politics, and they know how to manipulate the political systems of the system of the United States, how to manipulate all those three branches, in reality four. And you have this conglomerate of the oligarchy, which is presented as a working democracy, which doesn't work. It's completely log jammed, completely. And it's, I don't know what's going to happen to the country. But when you have people like that, first, no congressman ever bears responsibility for what he says in terms of the foreign policy of the United States, because foreign policy of the United States is defined by the president and National Security Council. And it doesn't have any congressmen or senators there, because first, most of them are morons anyway on this issue. And secondly, because that's good that they do not get involved there, because as we saw during first Trump's administration, it's so easy to corrupt them. They were actually owned. And not only them, the executive branch was owned by the Ukrainian diaspora, Ukrainian influence peddlers, not peddlers, I mean, corrupted by Ukraine, essentially. They was absolutely corrupted. It's just unbelievable. The level of this was absolutely terrifying and stupefying. And then add here the complete ignorance of the American political class on anything which is beyond the United States, because they are ignorant, they're highly uncultured people. They don't have class, most of them. They think that, you know, monies can buy you something. They can't. Those people mostly are, you know, village idiots. Not all of them, but many are. And so as the result, you have this combination of factors, so to speak, the resultant vector, if you wish, of all that, which brings us these types of the performances. It's done only for PR. It's all done to brainwash their public, to show how tough they are. Most of them are cowards anyway. So, and as the result, we have this constant regeneration of the media, congressional, military-industrial complex, which we have. And those people go out. I wrote about this Raytheon guy who was talking about the anti-hypersonic missile systems and things like that. They create this complete, you know what, bubble, which is an echo chamber, which is schizophrenic. And for normal people, it's very difficult to exist within it if you don't know how to sort things out. So they keep their hoi polloi, so to speak, constantly on their toes. They are constantly on the verge of the nervous breakdown, and constantly on the verge of, you know, basically descending into the full-blown panic mode. That's the whole idea behind that. Things are not as bad. They are bad, make no mistake. But, I mean, they are not as bad as they present. And, of course, they need to cover up for their basically culpability of the United States in this whole situation. And, of course, the fact of the United States military incapable basically to fight real war, which it cannot. No matter how they try to portray the, you know, as already stated, as Larry Johnson beautifully put it, a huge, you know, the tube of the lipstick. No matter how you try it, the pig is a pig.
Andre, what's your take on the Golden Dome again Donald Trump is talking about? He doesn't want to give up on the idea. Here is what he said, Andre.
This right here, the Golden Dome for America, is a game changer. It's a generational investment in the security of America and Americans. Mr. President, you said we're to secure our southern border and get 100% operational control after the previous administration allowed an invasion of people into our country. President Reagan, 40 years ago, cast the vision for it. The technology wasn't there. Now it is, and you're following through to say we will protect the homeland from cruise missiles, ballistic missiles, hypersonic missiles, drones, whether they're conventional or nuclear. And it's not lost on me, sir, also, that you had the vision to start the Space Force. And here we are, when the others said we didn't need it, here we are in the Oval Office with one of the leaders of the Space Force, in General Guetlein, leading the charge on putting in place a game-changing Golden Dome for America. So, sir, it's an honor to be a part of this bold initiative. We're going to get to work on it. We have been since you signed that executive order on January 27th. We've been fast forward on this. We're here on this day, and this is just one stop in delivering this defense of the homeland, which is something you've charged us with doing, and we'll keep going until it is complete, sir.
Andre, who's going to attack them that they want to use this sort of air defense system? Is Golden Dome, whatever it is that? And because we know that Russia and China before talked about it, it sends some sort of signal to Russia and China. Doesn't matter the identity of this sort of air defense system, but the message that they're sending to China and Russia is somehow is of concern in their mind. Your take on that?
Oh, it's projection. The reason they project and they need to do something, it's just yet another BS which will cost, you know, through the roof and will achieve absolutely no tangible results. Because in order for you to achieve any tangible results, you need to start as, you know, first grade. A patriot and thought, I joke, you know, so they do not work. And so that's why Raytheon guy comes 2 days ago. Yeah, we created new radar. I wrote a fairly large post about it. The United States doesn't have capability to do anything about it because obviously it lags by two generations now on the kinetic systems. So it cannot shoot down even supersonic missile. It can shoot down aircraft, you know, relatively slow flying aircraft. But in terms of hypersonics, it's not even in the vicinity. It's not even in the same galaxy. And as a result, you have all those movements. While in reality, what is happening? Yeah, it's a message. It's legerdemain. It's, you know, Hollywood again. Truth is, Russia is on the verge. Of not on the verge, the technology to mitigate even the massive strike and first strike. Let's say there's a 1,500 warheads which United States can theoretically launch. Not all of them will fly, but let's say 1,000 of them fly. So what you have now, you have a serial production of S-500 and S-550. Which are full-blown intercontinental missile, not some kind of the intermediate range. We're talking about intercontinental, anti-intercontinental missile with MIRVs, multiple independent reentry vehicles, warheads, capable to shoot them down. Not only capable, they have been confirmed this capability. So the horror for the United States is the fact that it is a Russia which is beyond the reach now, which is approaching their stage when it will be largely protected from the intercontinental ballistic missile strike. And this is the only weapon which United States has, which has any credibility in terms of the, you know, in the framework of the nuclearism. And as the result, and again, listen, I mean, this is for public, you know, this is all PR, you know, United States, again, as I already stated, the thought is a joke. It can have whatever radar they want to. Russians also have their, you know, beyond the horizon and above the horizon radar. But the point is, if you don't have kinetic means, you cannot simulate it. You need the simulation, hypersonic simulation, real hypersonic simulation, to actually achieve the capability, anti-hypersonic capability. United States has nothing like this. Nothing. It has. It's nowhere near the Mach 10 plus, you know, the real hypersonic weapons. The only thing they can do is just to launch some ballistic missile and say, oh, yeah, because it flies Mach 20, you know, in space. Oh, yeah, it's hypersonic. Well, yeah, technically it's hypersonic, but it's not hypersonic weapon. It's still, you know, intercontinental ballistic missile. You know, they cannot achieve the proper maneuvering of the warheads. They cannot achieve the control of the warheads. And it's not coming anytime soon. As a result, you will have, again, some kind of the simulacrum, if you wish, of the, oh, yeah, we created some new technology. Look how cool it looks like. The Star Wars or Strategic Defense Initiative was a complete baloney. It was used by Gorbachev and to initiate those reforms which completely killed the country, despite the fact that military told him that's all BS and it's all primarily cartoons, you know. And even, you know, serious, like late academician Velikhov, the specialist in the nuclear power and all that, they were telling him that it's all BS. But, and so we have pretty much the same thing, and they need to react somehow, because this capability for Russia is already online. It's just the matter of how many of them are produced per unit time. So because S-500, you place S-500, you have about 32 launches, 32 tubes. And then, of course, you have S-550, which is a mobile version of this terrifying weapon, which is, of course, called Nudol A-235, which is fully, together with S-500, also capable of the shooting down satellites. And then, of course, there is another thing which has been a long time in production, in serial production. It's S-300 V-4. It is fully intercontinental ballistic missiles, you know, capable, and it is capable, which has been confirmed, of the anti-hypersonic operations. So you have the situation, and yeah, they can do those presentations, and but the issue which I want to send you back to is actually Congressional Budget Office, which placed their study 2 years ago about the actual coverage of the radar coverage of the proper United States. It's United States doesn't have the full, especially on the altitudes, which usually cruise missiles fly, under 100 meters, under 300 feet and lower. So if you look attentively at the map, it's simply not there. The United States essentially is defenseless. So the fact that they try to cover the United States proper, it's fine. But the point is they will never be able to achieve any kind of the serious anti-hypersonic. And even if you look attentively at Russia's nuclear force today, this is another thing which is, they don't like to discuss it because they feel themselves, you know, inferior. And that's the psychological thing. Even Bulava, ship-launched ballistic missile, which is carried by the Russian strategic missile submarines, Bariya class, it is capable of carrying the number of the hypersonic gliding vehicles. Mach 27, within atmosphere, good luck. You know, so it's just they simply are not in this capability at all. And that is why when you look, compare the capabilities of, let's say, Patriot on S-400, it's not even fair. You know, it's not even fair. It looks like a backward, you know, which it is, you know, technology. And same goes for THAAD, which Iran proved completely, well, Houthis proved it completely useless. It can only intercept just regular ballistic missile from Houthis. And it was there already deployed and on the duty, you know. So, sure, good luck. A lot of money for military industrial complex, make no mistake. Some people will have good bonuses, but Russians are not impressed, and they shouldn't. I don't know about Chinese, but Russians like, yeah, sure. Okay, good luck, you know.
It seems to me that Donald Trump, before withdrawing from Ukraine or somehow from the Middle East, and he needs to give something to the military-industrial complex of the United States.
Absolutely. Yeah. You have to basically, again, listen, we go back to January 5th, to 1961, and, parting speech by Dwight D. Eisenhower, one of the greatest American presidents, and his famous military-industrial, he wanted, actually, the full speech was military-industrial congressional complex, but as he stated himself, I needed to push a couple of bills still through Congress, you know, so he removed congressional. Now it's military industrial congressional media complex. It's a bunch of the corrupt people. They need money. They love money. They love their, you know, golf clubs, you know, and those upscale clubs where they think they are the rulers of the world. They have no clue what they're dealing with on any serious level. Well, there are some engineers. There are some good American engineers. But it's too late. They lost this arms race. And I wrote 4 books on why they lost this power, because it's not there. The expertise is not there. They can create something, you know, but we saw already everything what is going around with the American military. It's not good, you know, it's really not good. And now we look at the, obviously, how they're going to finance it. Yeah, they're going to print more money, but yeah. Good luck, you know, the more they print money, the less they buy. That's the law, you know, and so sure, let them create, you know, because it is. So speaking frankly, I'm an American citizen. Do I want to be protected? Sure, of course, you know. The problem is I just, you know, having the engineering and military background, I understand it cannot be done in the United States under present conditions.
Andre, you mentioned that the United States is two generations behind in terms of the missiles and the air defense system. How about Europe? Is that
doesn't even register. It's Europe is militarily insignificant. I mean, they still can produce some things, you know. So, but if you look at the armed forces of the European countries, it's pathetic, honestly. It's just none of them, United States included. Even United States, they don't have resources. They don't have ability to conduct, you know, combined arms operation on the massive scale. The United States probably can last for, you know, 2.5 weeks, 3. In real war, God forbid us go there, and then it will go nuclear because it has no other options. Europe, I don't even see how they can even assemble something on the order of the Army Corps. I mean, they don't have capability, they don't have nothing. So they have some, you know, sprinkled, here are some Rafals, here are some Leclercs. We saw what Bundeswehr is, it's a joke. United Kingdom, they cannot even assemble brigade to do anything. So, yeah, you look at this, sure. So let them try. Mr. Oreshnik is in serial production, and it will gladly visit whatever the assembly areas if they will dare to do so.
Andre, do you believe that Donald Trump, after this phone call and what has happened on the battlefield, if we assume that Vladimir Putin was able during more than 2 hours of some sort of talk, some sort of communication between the two presidents, was able to give a very clear picture, a very important and somehow detailed picture of what's going on in Ukraine. If that's the case, do you think that the case of sanctions, they're talking about sanctions right now yeah. in the United States. Yeah. Scott Bessent, the U.S. Treasury Secretary, was talking about it. Let me play a clip that he's talking about it the way that he's talking.
To impose sanctions against Russia.
Well, I think we will see what happens when both sides get to the table. President Trump has made it very clear that if President Putin does not negotiate in good faith, that the United States will not hesitate to up the Russia sanctions along with our European partners. What I can tell you is the sanctions were very ineffective during the Biden administration because they kept them low because they were afraid of pushing up domestic oil prices.
He's talking about the sanctions being mostly ineffective. But do they really want to understand the reality of, as you mentioned, the Russian economy?
This guy, Bessonet, no, he's a moron. He is utterly incompetent guy. And, that's Trump administration. He, you know what, you have couple here and there, you know, appointments which make sense and which are competent people and probably people with integrity. I speak about Tulsi Gabbard. I speak about Cash Patel. But the rest... just a circus. I mean, he again brought on board a bunch of neocons and nincompoops, and he thinks that for some reason, somehow, he's in control. He's not in control. He better get the hang of it, and he better get the handle on his own administration. Mike Waltz, we still live, now we understand Mike Waltz actually spread all those state secrets all over the place. And this was Trump's choice. It was the position which you do not need to go through the approval process and the Senate and what have you. He approved this moron. Mike Waltz is moron. He doesn't understand first thing about national security or military. He was appointed by Trump himself. What do you expect? And so then Russia is under 28,000 sanctions, 28,000. So Rostyak today mocked U.S. and Europeans about sanctions, saying, yeah, go, just go right ahead, you know, sanction us. If they think that they are, he is absolutely correct, though, Bessonet, that they want to sanction Russian oil, good luck. See what's going to happen to a U.S. economy, actually, because the effect, a ripple effect, is a thing which United States cannot handle. And in this case, he says, oh, yeah, because we don't want the high, oil prices in United States. Try it and see what's going to happen in the midterms. Guess what? There will be the Democratic Congress, okay? So, and after that, guess what? Trump presidency will be screwed up again. And the guy is already what? How many since more than 4 months since his oath and his taking the office? He produced practically nothing of tangible results. He tweets a lot, that's for sure. He talks a lot. He talks about the treason. And yeah, so, and guess what? When? Show me the money. Show me anything. Well, yeah, they say that allegedly he stopped the invasion. Good, good. I agree with him. Yes, the border, I, as an American, I have to say, absolutely, secure the border. It has to stop. But what else? What else? Nothing. There's much of it is the, are those, you know, grandiose statements, which in the end all go, the whole steam goes into the whistle, and nothing is being done because it cannot be done. And he doesn't have a plan. And that is why, for example, J.D. Vance says, oh, Putin doesn't have strategy? Dude, J.D. Vance is their, actually their military reporter from the Marine Corps. That's who he is. He is not really a combat officer. I mean, he was in Iraq. It's not big deal, you know. But the point is, he would be surprised at the level you need to actually pass entrance exams to Russian military academies, let alone get into the Academy of the General Staff, and how General Staff works on the strategies, military strategies, and how Security Council operates. And when you put this together, it's completely different league. And as a result, Bessonet has already stated, he knows if he wants to get, you know, to sanctions, they have to sanction India, they have to sanction China, which are the main recipients of that, and sanction everybody else. Guess what's going to happen after that? The oil market goes bananas, okay? It goes completely rogue. And guess what? We're going to get a lot of problem and volatility here in the United States. And as I already stated, this boomerang comes and Trump loses his second term completely. He lost completely his first term. He was absolutely a Muppet, you know? He was proclaiming that he's fighting against the deep state. He was his, the B word, you know, so he was a slut bitch, you know, for those guys. That's going to happen again if they will continue with this BS, you know, and if they don't understand it, well, what can I say? Once the Democrats get the hang of the Congress, the country is done, and we're going to be looking at eventually down the road a serious first regionalization and then effectively the disintegration of the country. So he talked about that he saved the country. So far, I didn't see much in terms of saving the country. And I'm still waiting. I voted for him, okay? Because the other option was even worse. And I'm still waiting for his real normal steps, which are normal for any statesman, not, you know, politician or showman that he is.
Yeah, we've learned that India is importing more and more Russian oil and gas. And I don't know, at the same time, they're trying to somehow getting closer to India I don't see they're capable of doing this. The problem, Andre, let's put it this way. If you remember when they have decided to go against Yemen, they said, Biden was so weak, we're going to do something different, we're going to hit harder, we're going to hit bigger, and they went and came back. Yemen is capitulated. That's why we are living there. It's
ridiculous. They don't even understand that they embarrass themselves. I mean, for the whole world to see, it's like you deliberately parade yourself like a clown. And yeah, Houthis, okay, yeah. Houthis, for crying out loud. These are the people who do not have much. And they showed that how impotent the U.S. Navy is in terms of what they always were talking about, the projection of the power. So you can project whatever you want, but eventually you run out of the missiles, which United States doesn't produce in the proper quantities. It cannot expand it, not even fast, probably cannot expand it in any way, you know. And so that's Houthis. So they want to press India, the arguably the third after the United States, the third economy of the world, gigantic economy with gigantic population and in dire need of, keeping its economy at least moving forward. Good luck with that. Good luck, especially with the considering Indian approach to business. You know, when they see the good deal, good Lord. There you go. Per China, it's absolutely out of the question. Chinese already told them that go pound sand, you know, and you cannot go out and, you know, so to speak, order around the other superpower, which actually has much larger economy than yours, you know. And but they can. I mean, we saw what is happening to the United States since 9/11. Every single liberty was curtailed, every single violation of the Constitution, every single mode of corruption has been installed, you know, have been installed and basically developed. And we are, you know, it's the dawn of the combined West. United States, it's up to United States to decide what to do, but considering the level of corruption and those people in Washington, you know, it's just no chance with this. It has to be generational. The new generation of the American politicians and American statesmen must emerge. I'm not sure that it will, but it must emerge if the United States wants to preserve itself as a country. If not, it's going to disintegrate.
Andre, we know that when the conflict in Ukraine started, many people were arguing, including our friends of this show, they were arguing that Russia would in 2 weeks, gonna capture Kiev, gonna destroy everything. And that wasn't the case. Russia is not in the process of destroying the western part of it. They're not interested in doing that. Look at what has happened to Gaza. That's not the strategy on the part of Russians. They have secured the eastern part of Ukraine, which we know that's so important for Russia because of ethnic Russians. The goal achieved, and it was, in my opinion, it was the West not understanding what Russia was doing, and they escalated the war. And we are right now in a process of some sort of conflict that Europeans are pushing for the continuation. The United States is incapable of, the Trump administration simply is incapable of putting an end to the conflict. And it doesn't seem that they understand, as Lavrov was pointing out, the root causes of the problem. It's not about capturing Kiev. It's not about capturing the West.
No, it never was. It was here. It was demonstration of force prior to what is called the coercion for the peace, or coercion to the peace. It was the make Ukraine to go to the negotiating table in Istanbul. That was the demonstration of force towards Kyiv show, plus they did some job there which was needed to be done militarily. So they got Ukraine going. Then, of course, we have on behalf of Biden administration and those nincompoops like Blinken, Sullivan, and his wife, Jill, doctor of pedagogical sciences, you know, so she knows everything about military and strategy. And obviously Sullivan, who is a political scientist, I mean, you have morons, essentially. They are morons, you know. And so they got there in Istanbul, they discussed things, and then we have Borgia, another Cretan from the Oxford, you know, or whatever the so-called elite humanities degree meal they have in London. So he comes there and on behalf of the United States, sabotaged it. And this is when the real special military operation started. Real special military operation, as I write in my latest book, it didn't start until the April, this, the first 10 days of April. Only after that, that's when the special military operation kicked in the gear. And the gear was after it was understood that NATO will get involved directly, it was about demilitarizing NATO. So that's it. And now we, yeah, they are in panic. They cannot provide anything. There's nothing left. So there, yeah, they want another, what's the name of it? Patriot Pack 3, but not American one. They want this Patriot either from Portugal or who knows where from. I mean, or Greece, I don't remember. So yeah, sure, they, you know, there are many people in Russian military who have mortgages to pay. They would love to deal with the Patriot. And so, and what can I say? When we reached this bottom, in a sense, the only thing which is lower than this bottom is the start of the nuclear exchange, and then obviously the West will cease to exist. But we reached the bottom when we everything has been exposed. It's in the open. I mean, average NATO general doesn't know what he's doing. I saw British generals, my God, it's circus. These are nincompoops. They are literally people who have no clue about anything. And as a result, yeah, we have what we have. And the balance of power shifted. And the reign of the West is over, essentially. It's a fait accompli now. It's just a matter of how fast everything will be, you know, covered in urine, trash, and, you know, Islamization of France and UK is already pretty much done. And so, yeah, it's kind of, you know, it's a process, but it's in progress, and there is no way of, back from it for a simple reason. Modern civilization requires energy and resources. Europe has none. Simple as that.
Andre, military-industrial complex, there are people who are arguing that military-industrial complex is the real winner of what has happened in Ukraine. Yeah. But when you look at what has happened in Ukraine, realistically, we see that it was somehow, they gained a lot with this war. But the picture that everybody had in its mind about the power, the complexity of the military industrial complex of the United States, it was somehow a suicide on their part.
Yeah, it is.
The picture is not there anymore.
Well, they are not very bright people there. They may have PhD even in engineering, but they're not very bright because they are not taught proper history. Practically all American history of the 20th century is a fairy tale. It's a confabulated BS, which was taught also in the military academies, and they really believe that they are the finest fighting force in the world, which never won real serious war on its own. Well, the last time it's won anything was in World War II, and again, the Red Army did the heavy lifting there. I'm not talking about the Pacific theory. And even there, Red Army demolished their 1 million-strong Kwantung army. But other than that, what? Grenada, really? So what do you have? And they, it's unintended consequences. They do not understand that you have to build reputation for a very long time. That is why they had Hollywood. That is why they had all this, you know, propaganda. But your reputations can go down the drain really fast. It's very easy to destroy reputation. And that's what they did. Nobody wants to buy, really, except for Europe. It will have its throat, you know, shoved down their throats to buy F-35s, which they are already doing, to buy all those useless, you know, Patriots and things like that. And, yeah, and you saw yourself, even India, I don't know how true claims are, because you cannot really. I know that Indians are ecstatic about S-400, which I understand why, during this skirmish between Pakistan and India. But evidently, Rafale, yeah, it's not what it was stated to be. But Indians, right, they signed the contract, so let them enjoy anyhow. But there is a lot of demand for Russian weapons. And from ranging from drones to much higher level type of their and complexity systems, including their obviously their cruise missiles and submarines and air defense complexes, absolutely, and of course armor now. And it will continue. And United States military industrial complex and European military complex simply discredited themselves. But then again, as I already stated, those people are not very bright. The data sets they operate with, it's all confabulation. For example, Ukrainian military, imagine you are American general, okay, from some OPD, Operation Planning Department somewhere in some command, okay, and you are brought up in believing that you are the thing, you defeated Nazis, you liberated, we won the Cold War and all that thing. You never fought any serious enemy, but still, that's what he was taught. And then suddenly you have two sides. You have the Russian side, which provides more or less generally correct data sets. And you have Ukrainians, who you love for now because they give it to those Ruskis, because they hate you. You have hate Russians for racial reasons because they are really snow niggers, as they call Russians, So you have hate them culturally. And of course, somewhere down in your, character, there is this thingy which doesn't allow you to completely believe everything about yourself. Because if you are graduate of the military academy and with some service experience, you begin to, you have to understand that, numbers do not add up. So you have those Ukrainians, and they come to you, and they say, we shot today 12 Kinjals out of 6, which were sent. We killed 150,000 Russians a day, and, we did it. Patriot shoots everything down which flies. And so, and what are you going to do? You have to be very honorable and professional person to say, oh, please, don't give me this BS. This is Russian, thing which looks about right. But no, Russians lost million of killed, Russian economy, they finished their last hedgehogs from the forest, to eat. And so, yeah. And they swallowed it, hook, line, and sinker. That tells you everything you need to know about their professional level. They are not capable of fighting. And then suddenly when you begin to get after this famous counteroffensive, articles going from their joint force quarterly to the parameters, U.S. Army War College, which suddenly come out and begin to doubt everything. Well, I'm sorry, guys, you should have learned the subject. You should have gone to your military academies and to study proper tactics, proper battles with the real numbers, not numbers provided by the Wehrmacht and those loser generals who shaped the military thinking of the U.S. Army. And the British, pardon my French, they masturbated to the Erich von Manstein, thinking that he's the greatest thing ever. They never studied Russian and Soviet, military doctrine in proper way. It was always about this BS about that, oh, we're a democratic nation. Well, no, you're an imperialist nation. And you have only, expeditionary force. You have always had expeditionary force experience, which has nothing to do with the real combined arms warfare, as it's supposed to be. And so they suddenly have to review it and suddenly come to the grips that United States, as the military power, especially land power, it never was at any prime. They had this, strange war with this imbecile Saddam, and his semi-literate army undertrained. And so, yeah, it's just third world backward army. And they begin to think that this is it. They never studied even Russian experience, Soviet experience in Afghanistan, bar some few people like Colonel Lester Grau, who went there and did his due diligence. The same as goes for the immensely important book by obviously David Glantz and Jonathan House, When Titans Clash, which blew out of the water all those, you know, basically narratives. I heard this Sarah Payne, who is for some reason having a degree in history, somehow teaches strategy in U.S. Naval War College. She has no clue about anything related to Russia. But there you go. And suddenly you have this aggregation of the incompetence and the complete death of expertise. And that's where we are now. And once the expertise dies, when combined with the moral, ethical factors which we see today, which is essentially, it's a, you know, the, basically, it's pornography, essentially, political pornography in the Washington, D.C. I'm not talking about Europe. Europe is completely done. This is where the first signs of the collapse of the, not just civilization, you know, combined West is that. It's collapse of the nation. And this is serious. Unlike those cretins from Washington, D.C., I went through the collapse of the huge country, superpower. They have no clue what they're doing with. They don't, none. Not a, the same as not a single U.S. serviceman, not a single U.S. military person knows what real war is. They never experienced it. And war is the midwife of the national cohesion, always was, throughout human civilization, is and will remain so. Anybody with a political science degree, which is worthless crap, basically, that comes to you and tells you about this, that, oh no, you know, those ideas are important. They are all derivative of what we lived through as the human civilization when we had to really unify and, you know, get the cohesion as the national entities through the warfare. It always was, is, and hopefully we will be able at some point of time to stop it, but not with American political elite, which has no clue, together with the U.S. military, what real war is. And they have been given the demonstration. And the Russians didn't even come to war. They're doing special military operation, just literally dying there to avoid civilian casualties. If that would have been war, Ukraine would have ceased to exist as a state. And it would have been done really fast. So, but even that, even special military operation gave us a very good introspective, so to speak, on the actually foundations of their self-proclaimed Western superiority, which is not there.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Andre, for being with us today.
My pleasure.
As always. Take care, Andre. Bye-bye.